Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. This is episode 4. Oh my god, y'all, I cannot believe that I am actually recording episode 4. Like, oh my gosh, like just a couple weeks ago, I was, you know, giving y'all trash audio. Like, I just can't believe it. And we still on lockdown. So, you know, I'm just a little irritated by that. But, you know, what can you do? You know, everybody needs to stay safe. Everybody needs to stay healthy. People need to stop going places. I understand that we got bills to pay. If you are not an essential worker, stay your butt at home. Like, stay home. Y'all can practically do everything from the internet. Stay at home, okay? Wash your hands. Cover your mouth. Don't touch your face. You know, if you were staying at home where you wasn't infected, you wouldn't be under such strict rules, you know? But a lot of y'all still want to go out, so we still gonna play this. So if I'm on punishment for the summer and I can't go out for the summer, I'm going to be mad at everybody, okay? Just to let y'all know. But this episode 4, like I said last week, it's going to be a little different. This is the book club episode. Once a month, we will, or I say we, like I got a host, a co-host. I will be discussing the book of the month that I choose. So I know last week I gave us the book. I said that I wouldn't do that again because, you know, that only gave people a week to read the book if you had a week. So I kind of want to stretch it out over the course of a month. So, you know, you can read a little bit here, 10, 11 pages here, 10, 11 pages there, a chapter, whatever. And I say a lot, don't I? But this episode is basically going to be centered around the book that we're reading. And the book, again, this month is Queenie by Candace Carty Williams. It is a nice bright orange color with, you know, a black head. Just, you already know she black because she got braids. And that's what we're going to discuss today. We're not going to have the usual 3 segments. I really got to learn how to stop saying, it's just going to bother me. Count how many times I say, and leave it for me in the comments on my Facebook. I mean, not my Facebook, my Instagram, because I really be wanting to know like these things. Okay. But you can follow me on Instagram and leave those comments. Instagram handle is at fatgirl_fitness2. You can email me at reeseescorner@gmail.com. This is where I take all my advice or questions you can send me for my advice-ish segment, which we won't do today, but in the next episode we will. So you got time if you want to get my advice on anything or my perspective on anything. Just shoot me an email, reeseescorner@gmail.com. I also have the Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/Reese. I have 3 different tiers: basic, cute, and plush. 3, 5, and 15. Each tier comes with something different. Trying to incorporate some new things. I know I got like a group goal that I want everybody to get so we can get like some really, really, really nice things. Like, I like nice things, okay? So let's get nice things. Your monthly donation will help help me sustain this podcast, because it's not free to publish this podcast. And by the way, this podcast is brought to you by BE Productions. So we're working on that as well. I also have some things in the works, but I'm not going to let the cat out the bag. I want to thank everybody who has hit me up on Snapchat or Instagram to let me know that you're listening. I greatly appreciate it. You guys mean so much to me. So share this with your peeps, okay? That's to my count. I just did a count in my head. I've said 3 times since I told y'all to start counting. So that's really gonna bother me, because I'm gonna be counting it in my head now. 4. But let's get into this book. You know, I want to put out a disclaimer that everything, all the questions that I am discussing, have come from the publisher and their reading guide to this book. I will not give out the details of the book, but it will give out some small and minor details, some stuff you might look over if you're not paying attention in the book. But just wanted to let y'all know. But let's get into this book, okay? Okay. So I'm just gonna read the synopsis that comes with the book. Bridget Jones's Diary meets Americana in this disarmingly honest, boldly political, and truly inclusive novel that will speak to anyone who has gone looking for love and found something very different in its place. Meet Queenie Jenkins, journalist, catastrophist, expressive, aggressive, dramatic, loved, lonely, relatable. Her boyfriend has asked her to leave their apartment. Her boss doesn't seem to see her. Her Jamaican British family doesn't seem to hear her. Her best friends try to help her. The series of men she meets online are hideously... The series of men she meets online treat her hideously, and yet she doesn't stop seeing them. Queenie is in a spiral. But what makes this breathtaking debut novel so fresh is that this is a spiral mostly of Queenie's own making. The world isn't just happening to her, doing her wrong. Instead, as Queenie careens from one questionable decision to another, she finds herself wondering, as we all do these days, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? And who do you want to be? So, let's jump right in to the first question. But before I do, the synopsis mentions Americana. If you have not read Americana, it is amazing, okay? It's good. It is written by Chimamanda Adichie. If you don't know who she is Nigerian-born, Black African feminist, and I love her, love her, love her, love her, love her, love her, love her. Her voice is amazing. You can hear her talk on Beyonce's Flawless on the album. That's her. That's actually a essay or speech that she gave entitled We Should All Be Feminists. But she is amazing, okay? But that's not why we're here. We're here for Queenie. So the first question is, what, and the reader's guide gave 13 questions, but I just picked like 5 questions to answer because I wouldn't have time to do all 13 questions. This is where you can send me your thoughts and send me, you know, your concerns or all that other stuff. Okay. So the first question is, what were your first impressions of Queenie? Did you like her? Were you surprised to hear the story behind Queenie's name? How does hearing the story from Sylvie affect Queenie? And do you think that Sylvie chose a fitting name for Queenie? Explain your answer. Whew, that's a lot. I won't answer each question, but just because, you know, everybody's not going to have time to read. Everybody hasn't had time to read. But my initial thoughts of Queenie was, like, she dramatic. I'm dramatic. She dramatic. Very hostile. And it's like, for what though? Like, why? But as the story goes on, like, you get a better picture of why she's hostile and why. And it's not even hostile so much as assertive. But it's a race thing, and that's another time, another day. She got her name from her estranged mom, which is Sylvie. And her mom gave her their name because, you know, Queenie rescued her from a life of lovelessness. However, it didn't fill a void, and that caused problems later on down the line that Queenie is still dealing with even at her age, which is only like 25, 26. But at this age, at 25, 26-ish, Queenie's mom had her already. So it's like it's a pressure of not being where you want to be in life, maybe. And because of Queenie's background, because of Sylvie's background, it caused her to make some decisions that were very questionable and that, like, literally changed the course of Queenie's life. So, at first when you think about it, you're like, ugh, why does she name this girl Queenie? Like, why? Why is her name Queenie? When you read the story and then you get her mom's explanation, you get it. Like, that's when it's like, aha. It's like you get the clarity moment. And I really like that. I really like that clarity moment. But she carries, and her mom carries, a lot of guilt from the decisions that she's had to make that Queenie doesn't understand. But Queenie being who she is, she probably didn't even want to understand. She just knew what was, and that's all it was going to be. Okay. So, let's get to the next question. When Cassandra says that Chesky's name is like Jessica without the ick in the middle, Chesky corrects her saying, no, like my own name, not some Western name, Chesky. Explain her reaction. Why is it important for Chesky to correct Cassandra's assertion? And why does hearing Chesky's name impress Queenie when they first meet? Now, I'm not even going to answer the last question. So, again, it's got something to do with similarities and likeness. But can we just pause for a minute and insert an arrow? Because I ain't like Cassandra. I'm just going to be honest. She was the one female character that I was just like, ugh. Ugh. And I really, 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 really just didn't like her. But she's that one friend who has like this box that she's created for you. And she puts you into this box. And then she tries to pick apart what she doesn't like about you. And then put a little bit of her back into it. You can tell she loves Queenie. But you can also tell that Queenie is disposable to her. So when Chesky got her together and was like, no fam, okay, that's not my name. This is my name. This is how you pronounce my name. And this is how my name is going to be pronounced. African and African American names are a mind-boggling thing to white people, or people that just don't understand. You know, culturally derived names are just like mind-blowing. Like, they don't, it's like you don't understand how my name is Chesky, and that is regionally appropriate for where I come from or where my family comes from. The same as Cassandra is regionally appropriate from where your family comes from. So just because you don't understand it does not mean that it's wrong. You know, like, just because you don't understand something, and that goes with a lot of things. Just because you don't understand it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. It means that you need to get a better understanding of what it is before you can fully judge it or say, I like it or I don't like it. But Chesky is of Ugandan descent. So her name is regionally and culturally appropriate for her family. Okay. Her name is foreign, and it's not something that Cassandra could put in a box. Chesky was not somebody that she could put in a box. Her name is not to be marginalized, and she said that. Like, she was like, look, boo, this ain't what you do. You can talk to Queenie that way, but not me. And she's probably my second favorite character in the book. My first favorite character is Granddad, because he's funny. I always love the funny character, okay? So she gathered her baby, okay? Because, and I felt like that was a moment that I literally put my book down. And I was like, yes, because I have an unusual name, even though it's not pronounced unusual. I've heard white people with my name. I've heard black people with my name. I've heard Spanish speaking people with my name. It's spelled different. So I often get many different versions of my name. And while I'm not as stern as Chesky is, I tell people at this point, As long as you're not calling me out my name, I really don't care if you pronounce it right. Like, I really don't. You know, as long as you're not be like, "Ayo, bitch." And then I got to be like, "All right, come on, get these Muhammad Ali hands, because I'm about to light you up. Now we got to fight. Now we got to break out into fisticuffs." So I get it. I get why she has to be corrected. But because the spelling of my name is a little different, I just don't care anymore. I spent 22 years correcting people on my name. As long as it's spelled correctly on my check, and as long as you're not calling me out my name, at this point I'm okay. Don't call me whatever your name is. That's when we have the problem. Like, don't be disrespectful. That's when we have a problem. But I get where Chesky was coming from, though. So for Cassandra to use Jessica, like, that is nowhere near Chesky. Like, without the ick. So it's like Jessica without the ick. No. It's not Jessica without the ick. That doesn't even sound the same. Ugh. Ugh. Like, y'all just don't understand. But names are important. And it's an identifier for Chesky. So I can understand why she checked it the way she did. She stopped that and nipped that right in the bud. And I like that. Now, I will pause to say that I had to buy this book twice because my dog took my book off the front porch and ate it. He ate my book. Do y'all understand how mad I was? And actually, that is going to be the picture that you comment on. My book torn to shreds because my dog ate it. Like, I was trying to read what I could, what I had left of the book, and like words and sections and chunks of the book was missing because he literally just like devoured the book. And then a whole 22 pages was missing out of the back of the book. Luckily, it was all together in one. But oh, I was getting ready to put a dog up for adoption. Because it's one thing I don't play about. That's my food and my books. If I buy a book, because I usually do Kindle because I like to be environmentally friendly, but if it wasn't available, because I bought it when it first came out, and I'm just not getting to it, but at the time I bought it, it wasn't available on Kindle, and I could only get it in the hardback. So for him to eat it up, oh, I want to give my sweet dumpling away. Because he wasn't sweet to me anymore. But anyway, I'm going to go on to the next question. The next question is, after Queenie pitches an article designed to shine a light on the Black Lives Matter movement, one of her colleagues responds by saying, "All that Black Lives Matter nonsense, all lives matter." Discuss Queenie's reaction to this assertion. What's her counterargument? And why is it so important for her to cover the movement? Okay, so this part comes at a pivotal moment in the book. Like, Queenie is at the climax of her mental state, just at the top, right before she hit the fall. So for this white coworker, because he was an older white man, just breathe. He was an older white man. So for him to even say all lives matter to a black female, it's like, oh, just mind blowing. Like, it's just boggling. And as Queenie put it, gobsmacked is what I was when he said it, because she was, so I was. This conversation is a current conversation, because even in 2020, and this book was published in 2019, so even in 2020, and I live in the South, so, and not just any South, like, I live in Mississippi. So for me, Black Lives Matter is important. I get that some people are non-confrontational, but as far as this conversation goes, I'm confrontational. I've had to have this conversation with so many people because, and this is a conversation that I never get tired of having, because it is always going to be relevant, because I am a black life. So is this saying, does Black Lives Matter say that all lives just don't matter at all other lives? No, it does not say that, because yes, all lives do matter, but all lives are not being gunned down in the middle of the street. They are not being gunned down for following police directions and getting their license. They are not being gunned down for being in a white neighborhood after dark, even though they live in that neighborhood. All lives aren't being taken simply because of the societal notion that black people, or that their life or their descent, are aggressive, or they are combative, or they are the aggressors. You know, America was built on the foundation that Africans coming from Africa were untamed. They needed to be tamed, all because, as Cassandra did to Chesky earlier in the book, tries to put her in a box. So because you don't understand my culture and you don't understand my way of living, now I'm the aggressor. Now, I always have a target on my back, and I like to tell people that there's a totem pole in America. White men, white women, black men, black women. So for a white man to tell a black woman all lives matter, that's like, that's the collide that she has been having the whole book. I'm trying not to give away too much, but this breakup with her boyfriend is, it's like she's still constantly hitting that wall. And even though she's trying to break through the wall and she's trying to break barriers, because like she said, she is the first person in the family to finish high school and get a college degree and actually have a job that wasn't like a maid or things like that. She expects a level of intelligence, but she's hitting that wall, and she's hitting that wall, and she's still trying to find the answers to why she keep trying to hit this. Like, why does she keep putting herself in these situations where she keep hitting that wall? And her counter argument is the same argument that I'm having right now. All lives do matter. However, let's look at it in the news. Let's highlight it. And let's count the number of white people being gunned down, Asian people being gunned down, Latin people being gunned down, in comparison to black people being gunned down, and tell me that the scales aren't tipped, because you're going to be able to see it. So her counter argument is, I'm getting ready to go smoke a cigarette, because I don't even have time. Like, and I feel her, you know, just, she don't want an argument in the workplace, I guess. I don't know. But I understand. I need to go smoke a cigarette. Because y'all crazy. Like, y'all really trying it. Y'all really trying it right now. The next question is, and I'm trying to make this fast because for time's sake, I like to keep my episodes between 40 to 45 minutes. I don't like long podcasts because you lose interest and you won't listen. So anyhow, the next question is, after a conversation with Darcy, Queenie thinks, I wish that well-meaning white liberals would think before they said things that they thought were perfectly innocent. What does Darcy say that leads to this reaction? Think about the comment, and why is it so charged, and how does Darcy's comment highlight the difference between Queenie's and Darcy's experience? Queenie mentions another killing in America, and Darcy's response is, what did he do? Bruh. What did he do? And I'm being Queenie right now, like, bruh. What you mean, what did he do? Like, he didn't have to be doing anything to get killed, which is why Black Lives Matter is a thing. Like, he didn't have to be doing anything. Why couldn't it have been a different situation? Like, why is it that he is the problem? Why? Yeah, my dog over here snoring. I love it. I love it when he snores. So what did he do? Live his life being black, walking down the street while black. That's dangerous in these times. And so it goes to speak to their differences, that even though they work in the same setting, Darcy doesn't understand what it's like to be black. Of course she wouldn't. She is a white woman. So even though, really? So even though she means well in trying to comfort Queenie at this time, Queenie instantly sees the differences between the two of them and their racial differences. She instantly sees that Darcy will never understand what it's like to be a black person and caring about black issues, because while she is a liberal and she does liberally think, she doesn't think about the black issue. So like, I like to throw feminists in there because I am she and she is I. There are white feminists and black feminists. And sometimes when people say, oh, you're a feminist, they automatically think that I'm gay or I hate men, like, or I'm aggressive or I like doing construction or who knows. However, I just so happen to like doing construction work. Like, I love it. But that doesn't mean that I'm gay. Just because I'm a feminist, it means that I look out for women's causes and women's needs, and predominantly black women's needs, because they go untouched so often that it's just, that's my soapbox and I'm gonna get down. But just for me being a black woman in my 30s, I can already tell you that my experience from a white counterpart is vastly different. My upbringing is vastly different. My corporate career is vastly different from that of a white woman because of, again, that totem pole I said, white, white, black, black, and then it's me, you know? So Darcy may have meant well, but word choices can mean different things coming from different sides of the track. So, you know, white people may hear, go get my belt. That may mean to pull up your pants. But if a black person say, go get my belt, I'm getting ready to get an ass whooping. And damn, what I do. You know? So, the book shows diversity in that aspect. It's something that I probably have to read 2 or 3 times to pick up on things that I didn't pick up on the last time. But words coming from different people have totally different meanings. Some examples. Real life, Rosewood, Florida, 1923. Don't know about it? Look it up. All right. And the last question before, you know, we get to the end of the episode is my favorite question and my favorite topic in the whole book. My favorite thing. Queenie's grandmother tells her, if you are sad, you have to try not to be. Causing Queenie to muse that all of my grandmother's responses come with a Caribbean frame of reference that forces me to accept that my problems are trivial. How does Queenie's grandmother deal with problems? How does she react when Queenie broaches the subject of getting counseling, and why? Grandma flip out. Period. When Queenie say, you know what, I think I need counseling, Granny say, not in my house. Okay? Grandma Dikembe Mutombo counseling just out the L. She just like, boom, shot block. Like, no, not gonna happen. Not here. You're not gonna bring shame on this family because you can't seem to hold it together. And deal with everyday life. It's people that deal with stuff more hard than you do, and that's harder than what you have to deal with. And you think that because you lost your job and lost your boyfriend and, you know, had to move back home, you lost your apartment, just because you did all of this, that means that you gotta go to counseling. Grandma sound like the typical black person in the black communities. Like, we gotta realize that mental health is very, very, very important. If you need help, I remember I was on Twitter and I said something about being depressed. I was like, you know, I'm depressed. And he was like, man, black people don't get depressed. We get drunk and we keep going. Okay, idiot. You get drunk to numb your pains just so they can be back the next day. You don't want to work out while you're having these pains. You don't want to figure out anything. I think that we need to look at suicide rates. We need to look at drug, alcohol usage and dependency. And we'll see that the childhood traumas that we hold on to, because believe it or not, we hold on to a lot of childhood traumas. You know, that friend that's always laughing, they probably laughing to keep from crying, because, you know, when they go home, they don't have nobody to talk to. Or the friend that's promiscuous, you know, you be like, oh, she a thot. That's just how she is. Well, maybe, you know, maybe she was molested. Maybe she was raped. You don't know, because she has put those thoughts and feelings so far in the back of her mind that they are coming to the surface now, and she's expressing that in ways that you don't understand, and neither does she. You're trying to figure out why your friend, or why your, you know, why your homeboy always dogging out the girl that he loved, when it's probably because he got a trauma in his life that his daddy probably got dogged out, you know, by the woman that he loved. And he watched his daddy try to pick up the pieces and how it hurt. You never, ever know. So for people that just be like, I'll be all right, you probably will. But what is it going to take? Is it going to take a mental breakdown for you to be okay? Like, are you going to have to, like, just ugly cry like I did last week? Is that what you're gonna have to do in order to deal with what's going on in your life? But the world may never know. So it was a lot of stuff that I did not touch on in the book, a lot of obvious themes, but I did hit on some of the themes that resonated with me, mainly mental health and my standing in the corporate world as a black woman. So, and I feel like we all women have a little bit of Queenie in us. Even men, you know, we all have a little Queenie in us. You get how she feel. You feel how she's feel. You feel her pressures. You feel her pain. And the mental health thing, like, I really, really, really loved that theme in the book. Because It's really, y'all just don't understand how I feel about mental health. Like, it is really, really, really important. As a matter of fact, I got to call my psychiatrist to make sure that my appointment is still standing for the end of this month, because that is how serious I am about it. If you need help, please get help. Don't wait until the last minute, until you are bogged down and burdened down with life and everything in it, and you can't handle it anymore, and like your world is falling apart. Don't wait till then. Be proactive so you don't have to be reactive. Because when you have to be reactive, desperate times calls for desperate measures. So that is it for the book club segment. I hope that this discussion, or that my discussion, inspires you to read, y'all, because I really, really, really like this book. If I had to give it a Reese rating on a scale of 1 to 5, it would really get a 4.5. And the reason I don't give it a full 5 is because I would have liked to see Queenie knock Cassandra out. Okay, you guys, thanks for tuning in and sitting and listening to me. Don't forget to share the podcast, like the podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, share with your friends. If you listen on Spotify, share it with your friends. Y'all know where to reach me. Y'all know how to reach me. Instagram, Facebook, not Facebook. You can't reach me on Facebook. Instagram, Twitter, Patreon. There was one more that I had, and I cannot remember what it was. Anyway, I'll put all of them in the show notes for y'all to listen to. This has to have been one of my... I really like doing this episode. If you liked it, share it with your friends. If you think you know somebody who would get something out of it, share it with them. You can get to me at reeses-corner.simplecast.com, and from there you can get to all my social media platforms. You can even listen to the episodes. You can, I think that's it. You can get to Patreon, you can get to Twitter, you can get to Instagram, all from there. And listen to episodes and share episodes. And that's it. So the next book, because I did say that I was going to start giving out books ahead of time, the next book that I am going to review is going to be A River of Royal Blood by Amanda Joy. It is youth, young adult fiction, fantasy fiction, and it's good because I already read it, but I'm going to read it again because I'm a nerd like that and I love books. But I will catch y'all next time. Bye.